You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Throughout this holiday season, we give thanks. And we give thanks for our guest, a former pitcher in the Chicago Cubs organization who is doing great charitable work. He is the namesake for Bear Find, an organization dedicated to finding missing children. To do it, he went to where the people are, in the minor leagues, where affiliated teams drew more than 41 million fans this past season. We welcome to the show the finder of Bear Find, Dennis Bear. Dennis, it's great to have you with us. Eighth round draft choice in 1995 by the Chicago Cubs, which I'm sure bought you a lot of cars and homes with that kind of money.
Yes, hi, Ed. Thank you very much for having me as a guest on your show. It's an honor. And I was drafted in the era before cell phones and the internet. So my my signing bonus got me a nice used Chevy Blazer, and that's about it.
And then and then three shoulder surgeries.
Yeah, I actually ended up. I pitched in '95 and '96 in the Cubs minor league system, and '97 and '98 I spent on the disabled list in Double A in the Southern League, and I got released in '99, and that was pretty much it. So. But it was fun while it lasted.
But and while it lasted, there's a story about a hit by pitch in the Florida State League.
Yeah, when I pitched in '95, I was the opening day starter for the Daytona Cubs in the Florida State League, and I ended up leading that league in starts and innings pitched for the year. But my teammate was the legendary Kerry Wood. He was our first rounder my year, and it turned out that at the end of the year, Kerry Wood led the league with 18 batters hit by pitch, and I finished second in the league with 17.
Oh.
But our manager, Dave Tremblay, brought me back on the final day of the season on three days rest to pitch against the Vero Beach Dodgers. And had I known that I was one behind Woody in the league lead, I would have plunked two guys that day.
Yeah, to get in the record book.
Yes, it was a dubious distinction, but one that I'm proud of.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tremblay didn't tell you. And he's been on. He's actually been on this show now with his work in the Atlanta Braves farm system. Tell us how Bear Find got started.
Well, it was in 1997 after my first shoulder surgery. I was living in Birmingham. I had my surgery by Dr. Andrews, James Andrews, in Birmingham that year, and I ended up going home to Pittsburgh to my mom's house where I grew up, and I was just flipping through the channels. Like I said, it was before cell phones and before the internet, so we barely had a few channels on cable TV back then, and I happened to see a documentary that showed parents whose daughter, back then Pearl Jam was the popular band, and they had a 13-year-old daughter who went to a Pearl Jam concert in their town and never came home.
Wow.
And, the documentary just showed what the parents went through to try to raise awareness for their daughter to keep her picture out in public. And I just came up with the idea that, I was in a stadium with several thousand people every night. And if their daughter's photo would be visible to all those fans that, the parents, they spent all their money printing flyers, and it ended up wiping them out financially as well as not having their daughter at home. So I figured that if their daughter's photo was visible in the stadium, that thousands of people would see her every night and know that she was missing and needed to be found, and it would come at no cost to the parents. So I didn't do anything for the first couple years because I figured it was such a no-brainer that it already existed. And I thought that the signs for the town's missing kids are up on the concourse in the stadium. I just don't see them because I'm down here in the dugout. But a year or two went by, and I realized that they weren't there. And so I figured that it was my job to put them there. So I started approaching some of the general managers that I knew throughout the New York Penn League and the Eastern League and the Florida State League. And several years later, fast forward to today, we are an official homegrown charity of minor league baseball with with signs featuring missing child profiles in 150 minor league baseball stadiums nationwide.
Was that girl ever found?
You know, it was back then. It was I can't even remember who the girl was. It was just a passing viewing of a documentary that I saw on TV. So unfortunately, I can't even remember who the girl was or
if she was ever found.
Yeah, it was just it was the inspiration for my idea and kind of materialized after over several years. And of course, during those years, I was rehabbing surgeries and losing my career, so I was struggling just to stay afloat.
You're playing independent ball after being released by the Cubs organization. You're playing independent ball in 2001 when you get a phone call that may have changed your life.
Yeah, I was playing for the Canton Crocodiles in the Frontier League back then, and I was trying to regain my career. I did pretty well in that league and ended up signing with the Cincinnati Reds to go to spring training the following year. But I was actually on my way home to Pittsburgh at the end of the season, and we had spent the last 2 months of the season raising awareness for a girl who was missing from Louisville, Kentucky. And I got a call that she had been safely located 10 minutes from our stadium in Canton after raising awareness for her for 2 months.
Wow. And
that was like I tell everybody, when I was in college, I went to college in Monroe, Louisiana, and I threw a no-hitter when I was in college. And that was, up until that point, that was the best feeling I've ever had. And when I found out that the girl that we had featured was safely located, it was an even better feeling than having thrown the no-hitter. And so I took that as a sign from the big man upstairs that this was my calling and that my work had to continue.
And, Dennis, how many children are missing on a daily basis in this country?
That's a great question, and that is a difficult question to answer because each case it has its own circumstances, so it's the hardest thing to get statistics on. But that being said, approximately 500,000 kids get reported missing every year.
Wow.
In this country, they estimate that 98 to 99% are safely located due to the awesome efforts of law enforcement and investigators. But that still leaves, that still leaves 1 to 2% of 500,000 each year that remain missing. And if you divide it by state, you're looking at a couple hundred per state. And that's a lot of kids. One is too many. The truth is that if one child goes missing, everybody needs to stop what they're doing and start looking. And to have a few hundred per state on average missing at any given time is a national crisis, to be honest.
How does Bear Find find out who's missing in a particular geographic area?
What I do is, when I started doing this years ago when I was a minor leaguer, I got invited to Washington, D.C. to the National Center. And they gave me a tour of their facility, and they actually made me a photo partner. So what I do is every year I have a list of stadiums that my signs are going into, and I have a big map in my office, and now I can go to minorleaguebaseball.com and see a big map with pins on the map of where the ballparks are. And the National Center's database is divided by state. So I go, for example, I have the entire Florida State League and two teams in the Southern League that are in Florida. So I've got 14 stadiums in Florida where I'm going to place signage, and I feature 8 missing kids per ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I can go onto the state of Florida's database for the National Center in D.C., and by geographic location, I can select kids that are either missing from that town, or I can feature a child that is believed to be in that town. For example, this past year I had a sign with the Pensacola Blue Wahoos in the Southern League. I had 7 kids to feature from the Panhandle. I've got an extra spot to fill, so I can look on the map and see that they are very close to Mobile. So I can go on the database for the state of Alabama and choose a child that may be known to travel through the Panhandle to South Florida. So I literally research every single missing child case in the National Center's database every spring in order to make my sign.
Dennis Bear is the founder of Bear Find, and it is their mission to find missing children. By my recollection, you started out in 40 stadiums in four leagues. This season, you were in 150 ballparks where you featured 1,180 children on your signs, and 428 were found. That's an average of more than one per day.
Yes, it is, throughout the five-month season, and it's an average of about three per city. And we have a message that the American public needs to know. And, you know, let's put it this way. 2018 is going to be a very pivotal year for us. Once the national public knows our message, you know, since we started in 2010 as an official nonprofit, 62% of the kids that we featured in minor league ballparks have been safely located. And that is counter to what the general public thinks when a child goes missing. Mm-hmm. When a child goes missing, a lot of people think they're gone and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But the reality is, missing children, they are among us and they can be found. And there is every reason to hold fast in the search until we get the answer we're looking for. And we've got something very special coming up in the early part of 2018 that we're not ready to announce now, but thanks to our birth and growth in minor league baseball, Bear Find is about to make an impact in the search for missing kids in this country like nobody's ever seen before. And so stay tuned.
How do you keep the momentum going, Dennis, once the games are over and we're in the off season?
That's a great question. One way is thanks to a gentleman by the name of Tim Bauman. And Tim Bauman was the GM of the Lowell Spinners in the New York Penn League.
Right.
That is the Boston Red Sox short season team. And Tim recently left baseball after a long and very successful career. And he took the job as the president of the Fort Wayne Mad Ants.
In the NBA Development League.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's they actually call it the G League now because Gatorade is the sponsor of the league. And last year, in order to enter the arena for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, which is the G League team of the Indiana Pacers, all the fans have to enter through two metal detectors. So Tim Bauman brought our program from the minor league baseball ballparks into the Fort Wayne Arena with two signs on either side of the metal detector so that every fan that enters that arena
has to see your signs.
Exactly.
And see those faces.
Absolutely. And we had two signs with 14 kids featured total. And last basketball season, 13 out of those 14 kids were safely located from the greater Fort Wayne area.
Wow.
And so our ultimate goal is to have a sign in every stadium and arena and every sport in the country. And in order to keep the momentum going, it looks like it's going to be basketball. That is our next step.
That's just wonderful. You must get out of bed and think, I wonder who we're going to find today.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is the first thing I do. When I get to our office and I open my email, I look and see which kids that we featured have been safely located so I can tell the teams to go ahead and put the found sticker on the sign. And just to be able to think that this child was missing and now they're safely located and there's a chance that one of the fans in one of the ballparks saw a sign and called in a tip that led to their recovery. Just to even think that might be true is the first thing I do as soon as I get to work, and I love it. I mean, it's a total blessing, and it's, you know, when you're a starting pitcher, you have to have a big ego. You have to be able to take that ball and say, I'm going to single-handedly win this game. And what I do now is so much bigger than myself that I, half the time, I'm just a I just am in awe, and I thank the big man upstairs for picking me to launch this project. And it's very humbling, and it's a big honor.
How do you categorize the missing? Do you have different categories for them?
They are categorized, not by me, but by the National Center and by whatever law enforcement officer is in charge of their case manager. A large percentage are categorized as endangered runaway or endangered missing or lost, injured, missing. But that is not always the circumstance of the disappearance. What it is they have to give them a category in order to get it to the case manager to prove it right or wrong. For example, we've featured many kids over the years that have been categorized as an endangered runaway, only to find out that they had been abducted. So, and you know, a lot of people think that it's the parental abductions that are the largest percentage, but actually that's a relatively small percentage where a non-custodial parent will take from the custodial parent and disappear. And, you know, these days, the National Center is estimating that of all the kids that are categorized as endangered runaway, it's 1 in 6 that are suspected victims of human trafficking. That's a major issue, especially where I live in Florida and in states like Texas and Arizona. This past year in minor league baseball, we featured 179 kids that are suspected victims of human trafficking, and something that everybody needs to be aware of.
Whether it's runaways, throwaways, parental abductions, stranger abductions, these are such tragic stories, and you give us such hope. And what is it? What kind of feedback do you get?
Well, thank you for the kind words. I do get a lot of positive feedback, but it's not really because of me. In launching this project, I banked on the goodness of the people throughout minor league baseball. And the people who work in minor league baseball, they are trained and they are experts at fan engagement, at community service, and they're just good people. And this project could not exist without the permission and the placement of our signs by the folks in minor league baseball. So I do get a lot of positive feedback from the general managers and the front office folks and the league presidents. And they do say that the fans do go to our signs and make sure they know those kids that are missing in their town. And when a found sticker goes on there, they do think maybe it was one of us fans that made the tip. But it's because they're such good people themselves. And, so far over the years, I've banked on the goodness of the people in minor league baseball, and so far they've come through like gangbusters. And it is quite an honor to be an official charity of minor league baseball.
In our remaining moments with Dennis Bear, the founder of Bear Find, their job, their mission, to find missing children. And in this short period of time where technology seems to be evolving at light speed, Dennis, technology marches on, and I'm sure that the advancements in technology have aided your efforts.
They have, but you know, minor league baseball, one thing I love about baseball and minor league baseball in particular is that it's old school. And, you know, our signs are made out of wood. And they sit on the concourse as a tangible presence in the ballpark. And, you know, we do provide slideshows of all the profiles for the teams with the big screens so that when the kids that are missing, when their profiles go on the big screen, there is a captive audience. But I like the fact that our signs are, you know, are made out of wood and they're made out of vinyl. And every night, those parents and those families whose kids are missing, I work with a lot of them, the families of the kids that we feature. And they tell me across the board that their number one task as a family is how do we get our kids' picture out in public so that it stays out in public and so that it is seen. And even though they love the technology and all that, the social media and that good stuff, we do we do take photos of our signs and tweet them out, and the teams retweet them. But the families do find comfort in the fact that our sign is made out of wood, and it's sitting there in real life to be seen by the however many thousands of fans are in the ballpark that night.
Dennis, where are the local, state, and federal officials? Aren't they helping you?
We do get a lot of support. Like I said, those people are super. I mean, to have a 98 to 99% recovery rate for kids that go missing is out of this world. Our task, when I had this idea, I was still in the minor leagues, and my idea was that when I make it to Chicago, that everyone's going to know who I am because I'm going to be a starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. And I'll be able to launch this. I'll be able to walk right into the commissioner's office and say I want a sign in every stadium and write the check myself. But that has been my task since I lost my career, was I got to do this now without name recognition and without money. And as we have grown over the years, we have gained momentum and gained some notoriety. And some of the GMs, in fact, Auburn, the Auburn Double Days in the New York Penn League, those front office guys are the best. And I talked to them at the winter meetings, and they said that their local law enforcement loves our program and wants to partner with us for the 2018 season, and we love it. And I just believe that I think that we are over the hump, and 2018 is going to be a year that more people find out who we are, and we can really make an impact. Because the folks in law enforcement, 98 to 99% recovery rate for these kids that go missing. I'm speechless. I can't even find the words to say how successful that is.
We'll take those odds. If people want to be in touch with you and want to help Bear Find, how can they do so?
They can go to our website, which is bearfind.org, and that's my last name, B-A-I-R, and then the word find, like find a missing child.org. And if anybody would like to support us, the more money we raise, the more signs we can produce. And that's the answer to one of your questions is it's actually AMI Graphics who makes our signs, and they are the official sign maker of minor league baseball. And they are also the exclusive sign maker for minor league hockey. Mm. So the more funding we can raise, they are ready, and we are in position to launch our program in 60 to 62 minor league hockey arenas throughout the winter. We just got to raise the funds.
And you will. And in this holiday season, we give thanks to you. So that'll do it for Dennis Bear and myself on MLB.com. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.